Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio, and I am your host, Lauren Chalantani, and you're listening to episode 54, Alcohol-Free and Euphoric with Karolina Jakubowska. Do you ever think that you should question your relationship with alcohol? You don't think that there's an addiction, but you feel like it's really preventing you from your health goals and feeling your best. Well, my friends, this episode is for you. Today, our guest, Karolina Jakubowska from Euphoric AF, or Alcohol Free, helps us drop that stigma of alcohol-free living and share major truth bombs behind why our bodies always feel like crap after drinking. Karolina is a transformation coach who works with healthy and soulful women who want to transform their relationships with alcohol. In this episode today, you'll hear life without alcohol, being sober curious. Can you actually be healthy and still drink? Alcohol's negative side effects not only on your brain, but your body and emotions. Social pressures of drinking. Why do you wake up in the middle of the night every time like clockwork after drinking? How to live your best life. Drinking as a coping mechanism. Our culture of distraction. And so, so much more. Without further ado, please enjoy episode number 54, Alcohol Free and Euphoric with Karolina Jakubowska. Welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio, everybody. And again, I am your host, Lauren. The show where you learn that your body is not actually in your way, but she is leading your way. And today we are talking with Karolina Jakubowska, questioning your relationship with alcohol. And Karolina is a transformational and life coach who works with healthy, soulful women who want to transform their relationship with alcohol. Women just like her a few years ago that ate healthy, exercised, practiced meditation, yet she couldn't figure out why alcohol was her Achilles heel and kept her doing the same thing every weekend. She wasn't a problem drinker, but she realized she was a social and weekend drinking was keeping her stuck. And she finally took a break, and she never expected to fall so madly in love with her new life, amazing sleep, which who doesn't love, peaceful early mornings, and a reawakening of her passion, purpose to go after her dreams. Yes. Today, Karolina works with sober, curious women who want more out of life than hangovers and are ready to explore what they're capable of without a beverage holding them back. And the question shouldn't be, do I have a drinking problem? But it should be, is drinking helping me live my best life? Yes, we're going to explore that today. Welcome to the show, Karolina.
Well, thank you, Lauren. It's such a pleasure to be here today.
Yes, and I think this is so timely. We're both in our places across the country, but we're pretty locked down, and we're talking about how this is very poignant and timely. People are probably like, you know, trying to stock up on their toilet paper, but also, how are you reacting in terms of your alcohol consumption and, you know, really being in touch of what best life you can live no matter what's going on outside. Before we kind of unpack all of that, I would love to hear in your own words, your story, what kind of led you to uncover this passion and realizing how alcohol was holding you back to now empowering other women to live their best lives as well.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for asking. So I grew up in California, and as a young adult, came to be quite a partier, you know, so came into my life. I'm sure how it does in a very typical way for a lot of young adults. And that was just something that was very much my identity. But as I got older into my mid-20s, you know, I discovered a healthy lifestyle that I really wanted to embody. I wanted to be a responsible adult. I wanted to feel good in my skin, all of these things. So I relegated any kind of drinking to the weekend or socially. And I started exercising a lot more. I started meditating. I started going to yoga. I started doing all these things. And even though my drinking wasn't something that you would call problematic, I was so stuck. I felt like I was continually finding myself in the same place every Monday morning, because during the week I took all these strides forward. You know, I ate healthy, I meditated, I was reading, I was working on my personal development. And then every weekend it felt like I took three steps back. You know, drinking over the weekend, not only we'll hopefully talk about, but you know, drinking actually changes your brain chemistry to release more stress hormones in your body. It lowers your neurotransmitters of like dopamine and serotonin and GABA. It ruins your sleep. So all of these feelings I was feeling was actually very scientific, but I didn't have a name for it. I just knew I felt mildly depressed about it. I felt stuck. I felt low. I felt like something was wrong with me because, you know, I was not hearing conversations like this in the public. If you were thinking about alcohol, to me, that signaled, like, you know, most people think about, is that there was some huge, huge, huge problem, that I must be some kind of alcoholic, and that, you know, I would have to wear a stigma for the rest of my life. And I wanted nothing to do with that. So because of the way that I think alcohol is talked about in society, I was so much more reluctant to actually do something about it, because, you know, my mantra was just like, well, I'll always just try to drink less. And I did. Year after year, I drank less than the year before, and it just wasn't working. I was still finding myself stuck, giving so much mental energy, you know, to a beverage. Like, you know, even if you're trying to moderate and you go out with your friends and say you're only trying to have one drink that night, do you have the drink right when you get to the restaurant and everyone has their first glass while you're at the table? Or do you have it with dinner? What happens when they want to go to another like it's stressful, right? And that's like a benign kind of scenario. You know, how many times do we not follow our intentions with when it comes to alcohol? And it doesn't mean that something's inherently wrong with us or that we have some kind of issue. Alcohol slows down your cerebral cortex. It makes it hard to make decisions and you get decision fatigue. So I know so many women now that I'm, you know, talking about this openly, they're in the exact same boat. You know, of course they have intentions around their drinking, and then it kind of just gets away from you. And it starts to feel like you keep repeating this thing every weekend, you know? And it just, I think, lowers your ability to live the healthy life and to really find yourself growing, because you're constantly kind of pulling yourself back, you know? So I was about 30 years old when I was just really getting kind of sick of this loop I was on. And I heard of Dry January. And basically Dry January, it's getting bigger now, but it's a health campaign in the UK to just give up alcohol for the month of January and focus on your health. And to me, it was a godsend. It was like, finally, I can take a break from alcohol. No one has to assume there's any kind of problem. And I can just focus on my health. And I was so relieved at that, because I had taken breaks from alcohol in the past, but it was always the social event that was my Achilles heel. It was always like, well, I have to go to this wedding and I have to go to this party and I can't just not drink there. What will they think? Right? My mind was obsessed with what would they think all the time. But finally, Dry January came around. I was so relieved to try it. It wasn't necessarily easy, but my mind was focused on the positive. My mind was already understood the merry-go-round that I had been living on for years, you know, trying to balance a beverage that really doesn't, you know, doesn't make for balance. And I honestly really just fell in love with the lifestyle. I experienced actual like happiness by finding it not with outside of myself, right? Like waiting for a beverage to entertain me on a Friday night, but actually finding my own joy and fun. You know, my sleep improved drastically. I felt so much healthier. And I was starting to really question, okay, like there's another way to live. After that, again, because I didn't even fathom that, you know, you could just not drink alcohol without becoming like wearing a label or, you know, adopting some kind of stigma that I didn't want to wear. And the awareness that I had up to that point of how alcohol actually made me feel and how it made me show up, I wanted nothing to do with it. Like, I had a few drinks in February and each time was incredibly disappointing, incredibly, you know, it wasn't like I drank too much. It was just not fun anymore, you know? And so I decided to go back to a break from alcohol, and it just kept getting better and better week by week that I was like, I owe it to myself to explore this magical ride. And I haven't looked back since.
I think that we hold ourselves back so much. Like you said, that what do they think? You know, we really don't even look at what do we think and what do we feel. And if somebody is like on that same page as you, you know, yeah, maybe that sober, I might be a little sober curious, but like, you know, maybe their whole friend group or their family or like their whole lives are really, their weekend lives are surrounded by this. And so they really feel this pressure to conform or, you know, what, however it looks for you. How did you kind of get over that? Was it actually just the feeling like I'd rather feel better than like F you, whatever you think? Or like, how would you work with somebody who might be stuck in that, you know, external validation point of
view? Absolutely. You know, I think it's crazy because almost everybody I work with and myself, of course, was in that boat, and we're all confident, grown, badass women. And here we are, feeling like we're in high school again, worrying about what other people will think about the contents of our glass, right? Like, it's a, if you really get kind of objective about it from a distance, it's kind of, right? You know, nobody feels social pressure or just like a weirdo if they're not smoking cigarettes or doing anything else that's destructive for their health. And yet with drinking, it's quite another issue. So personally, I did grapple with that for sure, because I had probably been sober curious for maybe 2 to 3 years before I finally took the break that I needed. And so for those 2 or 3 years, I had been trying to take smaller breaks, you know, like take weeks off here and there. And it was always the social pressure that got me back. And then once you know you have a birthday, then you might as well have some Netflix and wine, right? Like it just didn't work for me. And so when I was taking my break, I was finally like really invested to see me play this out. And I was getting such pride and confidence about it because, you know, when you set an intention and you actually follow through with it, that is the most incredible feeling in the world. And especially if you're used to letting yourself down in an area, it slowly crumbles your self-esteem. It really does, you know? So by actually not breaking promises to myself and showing up every single day the way I wanted to, I woke up the next day feeling loved and respected by the past version of me, which is never true when you drink the night before. Never. And that built pride and confidence. Like when I remember I hit 50 days without alcohol. And you know, my entire identity before that was someone who drank to have fun or release stress. And when I hit 50 days, I was like, who is this woman? I don't even know her. Like, I'm so amazed that I did this. And that pride and confidence started to spill out into my social life as well. I was actually becoming a little defiant, a little rebellious to actually be like, you know what? I'm not drinking and it feels really good. And to actually start sharing that with other people. And I think when you own your story and you own how radical it is to choose your life, to live it for your well-being and not for societal expectations, really there is like a subversive radical self-love within that. And that was really what kind of helped me grapple with that and come to, you know, be proud of sharing with other people. It didn't start like that. You know, at first I would just say, I'm not drinking for some excuse or whatnot. Of course, it was baby steps to get to that point. But there even came a time when I recommend drinking mocktails or any other kind of non-alcoholic alternatives. And anytime I had one, I wanted to talk about and say like, hey, this is actually a mocktail or a non-alcoholic beer, because I wanted to share. And I didn't want people to assume that I was drinking. I was so proud of it. So I really found the rebelliousness within me to stand up for myself.
I love that, the rebelliousness. And for me, you know, we all have different parts in our lives that are opportunities for us to learn to show up for ourselves. And the word I think is like self-reliant or resilient of, you know, I am my own being, my own creator, I'm my own person. I can make the best decision for me, because even if there's experts or doctors or whatever, I have the best knowledge of how I feel in my body. And some, you know, look at the diet industry. Some diets work for some people and really don't work for other people. And I think the same thing goes with alcohol. It's like, what kind of life do you want to live? How do you want to feel in your body?
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a great point. I remember too, like reading health books that either never talked about alcohol, or if they did, they're always sticking to that claim, one drink per day is perfectly healthy. And it was almost like I was trying to fit myself in this tiny shoe and make it work. And it didn't matter if I had one or two drinks. I still didn't sleep well. I still woke up the next morning feeling off. I still felt a little low in anxiety the next day. I still felt not amazing, like my best self. And so I think that's so true what you just said. It doesn't matter, you know, what it looks like externally or what like any kind of recommendation is. And it matters how it makes you feel. And if you know that you feel better and you sleep better and you feel more alive, you know, with a certain lifestyle, then that's like, that's your intuition telling you something. And I'd also like to point out that nowadays those recommendations are actually getting very much debunked. We actually have more studies and more science coming out that shows that there's actually no safe amount of alcohol, and that drinking the very least possible, if not at all, is the healthiest thing you could do for your body and your brain.
Okay, so I'm a science nerd. I love the science behind like meditation and stuff like that, but I want to hear more about it in terms of alcohol and the consumption in the human body and brain. I know for me, I feel I'm the same way as you, is like, I'm more prone to anxiety and depression, and my diet and my lifestyle and alcohol really affects that. Even if I have one drink the next day, I'm like, oh wow. Like I just, this wave of depression floods over me. So please enlighten us of all the nerdy facts behind what's actually happening.
Absolutely. So when we drink, this is artificial levels of dopamine in our brain. And that becomes kind of like a new high standard, into the point where our receptivity to natural dopamine in our lives, like from other beautiful pleasure with a child or eating ice cream or being out in nature, they just don't register as high anymore because our brain is used to this artificial surge. So basically what that means is that drinkers become more apathetic to daily life and then only feel highs when they're drinking. And that's just changes in your neurochemistry. Alcohol also lowers your levels of serotonin and GABA, which are other neurotransmitters that are responsible for making us feel happy and calm. At the same time, it also induces your body to release stress hormones. Because alcohol is a depressant, it induces your body to release stress hormones to combat it. So if you've ever had like, maybe you've had a few too many on a night and you woke up at like 4 a.m. really thirsty and your heart's kind of racing, it's because the depressive side of alcohol wore off and those stress hormones are really surging in your body. And even after just one drink, right, that's mildly still happening in your body the next day. And anxiety is a real term, right? It's that kind of anxiety that we feel. It's not just feeling ill, it's worrying more. It's feeling more doubt about yourself and your choices and just kind of like, not feeling good, feeling like you're doing something wrong and it just doesn't feel right in your body. And especially, you know, if I think I drink almost every weekend, and I think that's a very normal social kind of way of being for 20 and 30 year old women, those stress hormones and the way it changes your brain, it actually takes a few weeks for that to rebalance. So if you drink every single weekend, which I had since I was 18 years old, you're never allowing your body to rebalance and kind of go back to your natural state. So I personally had no idea what my mental state felt like as an adult. And when I got to about a month off alcohol, all of that really did rebalance in my brain. And it was a surge of happiness that I experienced, like the most giddy feeling. I felt like I was falling in love. I would go on walks and just stare at the clouds and the trees and feel like so alive in the moment. I felt so much awe and magic. And it was like I was finally alive again. You know, alcohol also dulls your senses and slows your brain down. So it's just all of this stuff starts finally getting a chance to really come back to its full capacity and function the way it was meant to function. And it feels like you're feeling fully alive again. Of course, like the newness can wane a little bit, you know, but I think when I was really grappling with whether I wanted to go back to drinking or not after a few months. And I just knew that those feelings of appreciation, awe, and magic would go away the second I had a drink. And I just asked myself, for what? I've had a beer like 1,000 times in my life, if not more. I've been there. I've done that. I know exactly what it feels like. I know exactly how low I feel the next day. I know exactly what disappointing it is after, you know, 20-minute buzz. And then the rest of the time, you know, it just isn't that great. And the next day it feels not that great. I had no idea though what it felt like to continue exploring alcohol-free life. And it transformed so much more than just my mood and my, you know, daily levels of joy. It transformed my entire purpose and passion. I finally rediscovered my dreams again and went out to chase them.
Yes. And we love that. And that's why I love having like beautiful people like you on the show. And that just like, you feel that passion, you feel transformation, that the hero story, if you will. And like, that inspires me, and hopefully all the listeners too, is, you know, my story might be different than yours, or their listener story might be a little different, but we learn from those stories and those experiences, and we can reflect like, huh, maybe that 20-minute buzz really is the not worth it. You know, like I do feel that way the next morning, or, oh yeah, I end up waking up at 4 a.m. with stress hormones surging through my body. That awareness, the way that you talk about this, to me is like building this self-awareness in life, right? Mm-hmm. It's how meditation helps you become more, it's called metacognition, is building this muscle of intuition, but also to observe your emotions and your thoughts and your behaviors from this like higher perspective as of an observer without that attachment to be more level-headed. Like, yeah, for me, it's with a lot of gluten and dairy with my life. I go in and out of that. And I'm not allergic to any of those at all, but they have similar effects to me emotionally in my gut biome as how you kind of talked about alcohol. And I'll have gluten hangovers. Like the next day, I will feel brain fog. I just feel hungover and I'm not clear. And I had to like look at it like what you're saying was what that few minutes of like that treat to the whole next week is like, it's not worth it for me if I want to be my biggest and best self. So, you know, learning to look at your life, almost audit your life, not for the negatives, but like, what are we holding on to and that's holding us back? Because when we can let go of those things like alcohol or gluten or whatever it is for you, we're allowing so much more to come in, right? We can only, you know, we only can hold on to so much. Why don't we hold on to the good, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love the saying, letting go of what no longer serves you. And I think it's easy in our society to have that awareness to topics that we, you know, are open on the discussion board, right? And we look at our diets and we look at our meditation habits and we look at things like that. And I mean, up until I think a year or two ago, alcohol just wasn't on that open discussion board. It was, you know, it was only for people who had a severe problem were open to looking at it. And this is just the way that you did it. And if you were to question it, it would start to elicit, you know, questions from other people, right? Like, oh, did you have a problem? Like, what's going on? That kind of stuff. And I love the way that you phrase the awareness thing, because I think not only getting aware of like how it makes you feel, listening to that intuition that's really telling you, I think we have sides that are so much stronger than our egos, right? That just in the moment want to do what's safe and comfort zone behaviors, right? And what other people expect us to do and what society expects us to do. And yet there's that wise voice inside of us that, you know, we can sometimes tap into. And it's not like ultimatums. It's just like, hey, why don't you explore this? Why don't you explore these feelings and these emotions? And I think what was really critical for me as well was there's the work by Byron Katie, and it basically has you observing your thoughts, but then actually asking yourself if they're fundamentally true and if they're serving you. And I think we have all of these thoughts and beliefs that are wrapped up with alcohol. A lot of them are given to us from society, and then we absorb them from our own experience as well. Thoughts and beliefs that, you know, drinking is fun, drinking relaxes me, drinking helps relieve stress, drinking is normal in a social situation, drinking helps me socialize, you know, drinking helps me sleep, all of these things that people might believe or think about alcohol. And it's actually a really interesting and eye-opening experiment and process to take every single one of those beliefs that you might think, any reason why you could say, I like to drink, take it, put it on the pedestal, and ask yourself, does this thought serve me? And is it actually fundamentally true? And when you start to learn a little bit more about alcohol, you can start to really disprove these things. You know, for a long time, I thought alcohol lies. I'm an introvert and I grew up shy. And, you know, alcohol, when I first started drinking in my high school and college years, it helped me turn into this extroverted butterfly. And yet by the time I was 30, I was so insecure anytime I drank. I was worried if I buzzed. I was worried if I had wine on my teeth and my lips. I was in my head all the time, all night, thinking about it. And because I was using alcohol to socialize for so long, I never got to use my muscle to learn how to socialize without it, right? And so this belief that it helped me socialize was actually not true at all. I became way more insecure, way more in my head, way more disconnected with other people. And when I removed it, yes, there were new territory I had to master, but I think any challenge is really what makes us feel fulfilled. Learning how to socialize without drinking was an incredible practice that I kept practicing and practicing. And I found that I could actually sit down, look into someone's eyes, and connect with them without all this mental worry and anguish that usually associated, you know, nights with drinks. I could be present with them. And so I completely debunked that myth and all the other ones, you know, that were lined up behind it around why alcohol served me, because at the end of the day, it didn't. And so then it became a matter of a very easy decision. You know, it doesn't serve me. I have such a big, beautiful life to chase. That's what I'm going to focus on.
And what you said about socializing without alcohol, it came to my mind was that I probably could have avoided a lot of bad relationships. that began because you're socializing, you're dating, you're meeting people. And my partner I'm with now, you know, we met through yoga. We would go to brunch after yoga. I'm like sweaty, hot mess, no makeup, like, you know, hair in a hot bun, like whatever, but we were present. And like, that's how I knew, oh, this is a good potential partner for me, versus even that one or two drinks, like what you're saying, it really inhibits our intuition and that those self-awareness muscles when your brain is like numbed down. So I just had to point that out there for people who are still dating. Probably maybe you should start without drinking.
It's true. And actually that's a yep. You know, a lot of single women, and the entire model of dating today is you go out for drinks. That's the entire model. And I like to position it this way. You know, when you are able to actually have your full functioning frontal cortex, you can discern whether there's a true connection and not just fall into like glib, bubbly conversation. It's not authentic to either of you. And you keep going down that line without actually having the awareness and the knowing of whether that's a good fit for you. And all of a sudden you wake up 3 months later and you're not even, you know, it's not a good fit at all. I think it's also up levels, like who you're attracting into your life as well. Because when you have so much of that self-love and that self-worth, you know, wrapped up in your relationship with how your lifestyle is, you know what I mean? And, you know, you're saying, I'm not going to accept these things that don't serve me anymore, it does really attract a higher, I think, vibration of a partner to you, where you can find yourselves connecting over what authentically makes you you together, right? Instead of kind of just masking and muting everything, and then you don't even have a true connection.
For sure. I think that's like, you're right. Dating culture is like completely wrapped around that. And I'm sure that could be a whole podcast episode in itself, because that just blew my mind. But I wanted to bring it back to, this episode's going to air a little bit after, but the state of the world right now, we're all kind of in social distancing or like lockdown mode because of the virus going around. We talked off air a little bit. I wanted to kind of dive into this. It's like, you know, we're all freaking out about not enough toilet paper or food, but also alcohol. You know, I have to stock up. I'm not going to get through this. Like, all my mommy friends, like, they're like posting like, oh, I just went to Costco and bought all this wine, like, to be able to spend this time, much time with my children or whatever. They're just looking forward to that glass of wine at the end of the day to get through. Doesn't matter what life circumstance you're in. Could we kind of unpack that? And like, I think this social distancing thing is really bringing up a lot of shadows and internal stuff for all of us, but in terms of alcohol and maybe some tips of how you would work through that.
Absolutely. Well, so I think one benefit is that if you have felt in your life social pressure to drink because of your circle of friends or just the activities that you do on the weekend or whatnot, well, what a lovely opportunity to not have that pressure right now. And to take at least maybe half or maybe 25% of the equation is off the table about why we choose to drink. And so there's no one standing in your way, right? Now it's about coping mechanisms. And so, yes, of course, we have been conditioned to deal with stress with unhealthy coping mechanisms, whether it's drinking or, you know, mindlessly scrolling social media for hours, whatever it is. We are a culture of distraction. And so I think this is actually a great opportunity to turn within and to focus on a lot of personal growth during this time, or you can disintegrate in the couch with a bottle of wine and Netflix. Like, you get to choose, you know what I mean? Which path did you decide to take with this opportunity, really, to turn within and to do a lot of personal growth? So as a coping mechanism, you know, alcohol is always something outside of you that you're reaching for that you hope will make you happier. It's a quick fix, and it doesn't really fix anything. And if you did kind of the work around, you know, really analyzing your thoughts, okay, a drink makes, maybe mutes the edges of like a rough day with your children or whatnot. And then what? Do you sleep well? Are you prepared the next day to take on the challenges? Did you process any of those emotions that you were going through? No. Is your stress compounded the next day because you probably didn't, you know, not only you didn't process your emotions, you didn't do any of the to-dos that were stressing you out. It just makes everything worse. You know, a lot of unhealthy coping mechanisms function in the same way. But alcohol is a double whammy because it actually affects you mentally and physically to make all that stress a lot worse. A lot of people drink because they think that it relaxes them, just like I did. And yet when you really learn about the science of alcohol, how it releases the stress hormones, and how you yourself cannot actually healthily process these emotions, they function just as toxins in your body as well. And the next day you're just feeling the funk. So how do we process tough situations, right, without lurking externally, is probably one of the most challenging and yet incredible growth opportunities will ever be presented. And it's really asking yourself, do I want to become in control and reliant to build up my own resilience to handle life? And when you start to exploring that question, you know, it's never fixed, right? It's a constant journey that we work on every single day. But when you really start introspecting and using journaling as a method, right, to handle these things, using other healthier coping mechanisms like exercising or maybe some more yoga or meditating, or even like honest connections and connections with the people that you love, you can find processing these emotions in different ways. So I would challenge anyone who's listening to really start to question, you know, does this habit actually allow me to cope better or not worse? And how does it actually compound a lot of the stress that I'm feeling? And am I curious enough to explore what it feels like to really become raw, right? And grapple with my feelings and learn how to handle them in healthier ways. They say that things come up to be healed, and that, you know, when we go through something, feeling something the first time, it's intense. But every single time after that, you will become better and more adept at it. They actually say that alcohol lowers the gray matter in your brain and it shrinks your neurons, and it creates these highly rutted pathways in our brain, the neural pathways that come to highly desire alcohol, because you have this habit and this routine and this mental kind of thinking about it that just sets down these highways, right? When you take a break from alcohol, though, not only does your gray matter grow within just 2 weeks, your neurons regenerate. And because you're exploring new ways of handling the daily stressors of life and ways of coping, you actually grow all these new neural pathways, right? Our brains are super neuroplastic. We can fundamentally change our brains, and you can change your thinking, right? So you grow all these new neural pathways, and all of a sudden, they have studies that show that people who struggle with drinking but then explored alcohol-free lifestyle, they're more adept at handling life. They're more in, they have more self-control. They have more inner reflection because they're used to doing that kind of reflection, and have more awareness. So what a time right now to maybe hopefully aspire to that kind of achievement. Like, it's a beautiful thing to deal in healthy and aware ways when we're dealing with the stresses of life. And it's always a journey, but that's what makes it fulfilling.
And I have to say, because I'm very critical of my own self, and that's something I've always had to work through day to day. And, you know, I call myself a recovering perfectionist. And don't get hard on yourself, like, through the outbreak or any part of your life where you realize you should have, would have, could have shown up better. We can't change that. I can't travel back in time. Maybe you can, but it's building that, okay, maybe I didn't show up the best I could. Even little step could I do today? How can Absolutely. I start walking towards the other direction? So I just got to say, like, I'm sure, I mean, myself included, yesterday I've been home for like 5 or 6 days now. I think yesterday was the first day that I like put makeup on and like, and like got ready. Like, you know, I was living my life in pajamas all week, you know, working from home. But like, I'm like, all right, Lauren, if you're going to have to stay home, let's like get your shit together. Let's like basic, you know, put your outfit on, look cute, even if you don't see anybody, for yourself, just so you can keep that grasp of your humanity, like, together. So I just have to point that out, because I know so many of us, especially like very healthy, like millennial age women who are just like overachieving, like want to have it all, like health, the body, the career, the family, you know, like the reason why we're so passionate and so determined is because we're so critical, and like taking that look in and seeing, you know, maybe is that alcohol that you're drinking, trying to meet those thoughts that because you are super critical of yourself for not, you know, being up here all the time. So yeah, just a little PSA for those recovering perfectionists. Mm-hmm. And if any of this kind of sparks your interest, how Carolina, how would somebody work with you if they're interested in learning more and maybe living a more sober lifestyle?
Absolutely. So my company is called Euphoric Alcohol Free. And I offer both coaching and courses to really look into your relationship with alcohol. My flagship course is called Become Euphoric, and it's an 8-week program to just challenge yourself to take a break from alcohol and completely turn all of that conditioned thinking that isn't serving you on its head. And I like to say that Euphoric is all about personal growth. It's not really about sobriety per se. It's about growing through and asking yourself questions about who you really want to be in this world. How do you really want to show up? and really getting at the root of what's your inner truth and coming from your inner guide and what's just all the baggage that comes from our conditioning in society. So it's a beautiful exploration into your own introspection and reflection and really like setting yourself up for more awareness and self-love, better health. And then my favorite part about it is that not only does this leave so much, you know, open in your life for feeling better, feeling healthier, having a better mental, you know, resilience, right? Feeling more connected with other people. It leaves time and energy on the table because drinking takes up time and energy. You know, I'm not going to lie, not just the physical act of drinking, but think of all the time it takes just to grapple with the low feelings that you feel the night or the should I, shouldn't I kind of debates that people have. It really does take a lot of mental energy. So you take off that all off the table. You're feeling better than you ever have. You're feeling more confident ever than you ever have. It's time to really ask yourself, like, who do I want to be and how do I want to show up? And I think two ways of doing that is one, creativity. I think when we're stuck in a rut or just doing the same old thing, you know, our creative juices are not really flowing. And it's an exploration into trying new things and really pushing yourself outside your comfort zone in more ways that really starts to help you explore like what my true passions are in life. And then, you know, once you start to kind of hear that intuition, whether that's writing more or, you know, going paddleboarding, you know, that might be hard right now, but you know, all these kinds of different things, you can start to like live your daily life more attuned with these passions and this purpose. And that's the thing that I think I will never get sick of about the alcohol-free lifestyle. Is not only do my clients and students stop drinking, like that's besides the point, right? The point is they rediscover what they really want out of life again. And people have launched businesses and nonprofits and completely changed their careers and decided to go travel the world. Like all of these beautiful manifestations, when you're open to listening to your own intuition and creativity, it will spill out and change your entire life. It's like, I know that there's little diet hacks and tweaks that make people feel better, but I have never seen the transformation that comes with removing alcohol, that comes in people's personal growth and just rediscovering what they really want out of life. And so that 8-week course helps go through that entire process. And then I also love to work one-on-one with women who literally want more out of life. You know, like I never came to this because there was a huge problem. I was stuck, right? But it wasn't so stereotypical like you would hear in the stories. And I think that so many people find themselves in the exact same shoes and we just want more out of life. We want to grow our vibrancy. We want to find more meaning in our lives. We want more connection. And so I also work with a handful of women each month on just really engaging in their personal growth, really looking at their relationship with alcohol and really expanding the limits of what is possible for their life in one-on-one coaching.
Awesome. Both sound amazing. I'm like, yes, please sign me up. yeah, because in any life change, you're right. It's not about not drinking alcohol. It's about what you can gain through all of this and who are you going to become in the process? Which is so beautiful. I have to remind myself all the time because as a person with a lot of goals, a lot of passion, a lot of drive, you know, being content with where we are right now. And it's who I have to become to get to XYZ. That's the point. It's who are we being and becoming. So with that, did you have anything else that you wanted to cover or talk about today before we start to wrap the show up?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think if anyone's ever questioned or just, you know, felt like that Friday night out just kind of ruined their whole Saturday yoga plans and just like feeling how they really want to feel, listen to that voice. You know, your inner voice in life will never lead you astray. And I think when you take away the baggage and you take away the things that actually dull your clarity and your connection with your inner guide, when you can really hear it loud and clear, it will never let you down. It will never lead you astray. It will lead you out of your comfort zone though. So if you are used to doing things that maybe aren't the most healthy for you or just are very what you've done forever, it won't feel safe at first. And a lot of people, the analogy, like, you have to take a jump, you have to take a leap off that cliff, and you have to trust and have faith that it will turn out, you know, especially even if you're taking a short break from alcohol and you're on day six and you feel a lot more, you know, stress and anxiety over it than happiness yet. Like, you have to have that faith that this jump is like leading you in the right way. But if you've only lived your life one way, right, with the weekends out drinking and the wine at home and whatnot, what's there to lose by just exploring a break from alcohol? I always recommend about 60 to 90 days is amazing, but literally even 30 days will change your life. And they even say, I don't know if this is hopeful or not for some people, but they say 80 to 90% of people who do take a break from alcohol never go back, because it is like, it's the most incredible feeling of being fully alive. And isn't that what we're all looking for?
For sure. Getting outside the comfort zones, trying things new, because I think the phrase of nothing changes, nothing's going to change. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, thinking something's going to change. It's not. So why not? I like the word sober curious for people, like the curiosity, because that to me embodies the way that we show up living our lives is curious. You know, yes. Let's try this. Why not? Let's try this, something new. Thank you, Carolina, for coming on the show. I learned a lot. I am interested in learning more because I love learning about the science behind all this stuff, and it pairs so well with what we talk about in meditation and the neuroplasticity. And wow, I'm amazed. I'm ready to like jump in and learn more. But thank you for showing up for all of us today with your wisdom and your presence, but also for yourself. Because if you wouldn't have taken that step, you wouldn't be here today. And because of all of that, we are so grateful. And myself and the listeners would love to serve you in some way. So how could we be of service and return as a gift of gratitude today for you coming on the show?
Oh, thank you, Lauren. That's so sweet. And I find my like deeper meaning and really fulfillment because I'm what I wish I had 3 years or 4 years ago, you know, like this all serving the past version of me who was so stuck and so isolated and so lonely. So I thought I was the only one that was having doubts. And it's actually, I've come to learn, and what even studies are showing, that this is literally the most common thing any drinker can go through. The questioning, the doubts, it is the most normal thing because alcohol is a beverage that does certain physical things to our body, and you're not alone in experiencing them. You know, we just don't talk about it as a society. But if, you know, you're curious about what you've heard today and you want to take even the smallest baby step, and I have a free 5-day course that will walk you through a 5-day break from alcohol. And what's most important, I think, it's not just the behavior change, because I think when we just change our behavior, it feels like deprivation. It feels like we're missing out on something. It really isn't about changing the behavior. It's about changing your mindset to really come to understand, why do I even crave and like alcohol in the first place? And how can I change my mindset about that and really let go of a lot of conditioning that I've received that's not truly me and authentic to me, and discover my own, you know, inner voice about how I feel about this. So my free 5-day course walks you through a lot of the mindset changes, the belief changes, and really just how to like deal with cravings and really look at awareness towards this habit in a completely new way. So I invite everyone to join. It's called the 5-Day Restart.
Awesome. And what a better time than now, really. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I know I learned a lot. And thank you again for showing up for yourself and all of us. So thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure. I really had a good time talking.
And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.